Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast on the sensational Saturday, the day before Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. This is Bev Herring, and my handsome husband is unfortunately now in the hospital with a little bit of a pneumonia himself. We're going to get him in there and out of there because the Lord has work for us to do. But just keep him in prayer. We're doing good. We're both doing well. Today we're going to talk about how we can make a difference in someone else's life. You know, the enemy just loves to be able to get us all tied up on our own problems and shifting our focus to just what are we going to have to do about this? What are we going to have to do about that? When really the focus needs to be on stopping, focusing on what's going on in our lives and help someone else solve the problem in their life. You know, that key right there becomes a personal, well, it's a personal key to our personal success, because the thing that helps every believer in the midst of a crisis is to get our problems, our eyes off our own problems and start helping someone else. There is always, always, always someone that's worse off than you are if you stop and look around. Ephesians 6:8, my husband's favorite scripture. Ephesians 6:8 says, knowing that whatsoever good anyone does, he will receive his reward from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. Think about that. That is where our reward lies. Doing kingdom business, and then God blesses us for it. When we bless someone else, God blesses us. That's exactly what Ephesians 6:8 says. Not only will God do it for us, he will do it for others. And the whole process raises our level of expectation. You know, right in the midst of adversity, we need to expect God to open doors for us to be able to bless others. Senator Robert Kennedy, way back in the day, once said, some men see things as they are and say, why? I dream things that never were and say, why not? You know, no born-again believer should ever possess a complacent or settle-for attitude or develop an unwillingness to be able to change, particularly reach out and help other people. If we determine that our lot in life will always be the same, then we're denying the power of personal change and supernatural promises that we rely on in the Word of God. Numbers 23:19, one of my favorite scriptures. This in the New Living Translation. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not a human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? I love that. If you feel like you will not be able to fulfill the things God stirred in your spirit or the dreams he's given you, then you have settled for less than his best and are not relying on the power that lives within you. Proverbs 19:21 in the Classic Amplified says this, many plans are in a man's mind, but it's the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. We can get all focused on what we want to do, but what's God's plan for us? What is it that God sees in your future that you don't? Far beyond what you could ask or dream or think or even acknowledge. So let me ask you a question. What is it that God sees in your future that you don't? Think on it. 3 John 2 says this. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every area and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. Now that scripture right there tells you that God wants you to prosper in every area of your life. And that doesn't seem to me like he wants everything to remain the same in your life. He's wanting us to progress every day. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, but you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. If God has given us the power to do stuff, get wealth, be successful, that should really forever establish that He wants us to be an agent of change, to create a better you. And as you create a better you, you create a better world around you. We need to start thinking about getting out of debt so that we can be used of God. When we're in debt, when we're up to our eyeballs in problems, our life is not our own. But when we just get burdened down with all the payments, and when I started the teaching this morning, we get focused in on what it is that our problems are, and it doesn't allow us to reach out to change somebody else, which is literally going to change our way of looking at things and help us out. When we're living, you know, day to day, week to week, month to month, we're not able to help ourselves, let alone help other people. And yet in 2 Corinthians 9:10 and 11, Classic Amplified tells us this: for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Hallelujah. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. They will thank God. I love that. God wants you positioned financially so that you're able to bless other people, who will in turn thank God for your loving kindness, your kingdom work being done on earth. Your ability to give to others will have a direct effect on whether or not they praise God. Think of that. It can't happen really when we are just indebted to the money lenders and barely able to make it ourselves, let alone reach out and help other people. Philemon 1:6-7 in the Message Bible says, "And I keep praying that this faith we hold in common keeps showing up in the good things we do, and that people recognize Christ in all of it. Friend, you have no idea how good your love makes me feel, doubly so when I see your hospitality to fellow believers." You remember the old military recruiting poster that said, "Uncle Sam wants you"? Well, you know what? God wants you. He's calling us to be generous, debt-free believers who bring glory and honor to His name. God wants us positioned to help others. He wants us positioned to make a difference today and tomorrow. Luke 9:62, Contemporary English Version says, Jesus said, "Anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing to God's kingdom." If we want a better tomorrow, then we're going to have to let go of our desire to have a better yesterday. We cannot continually think about what was or what could have been or what we wanted to create as a reality then. We need to ask ourselves, do we spend more time thinking about the past or living this day in preparation for the future? What are we doing today to ensure that we're being led into the kind of life God wants us to have tomorrow? Do you know how to get from where you are to where you want to be? Your future is not in the past. It's determined by what we do today and the seeds that we plant for tomorrow's harvest. You know, one of our favorite scriptures is Ecclesiastes 11:4. 11:4 Living Bible says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. So we need to start asking God, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us previous known opportunities. We don't need to look back and blame other people for the troubles that we've run into. We need to accept responsibility for whatever mistakes we've made and get up, and let's let God live big in us today. 1 John 2:28, Message Bible says, and now, children, stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for Him when He appears, ready to receive Him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when He arrives. You know what my husband likes to say If you're good at making excuses, you'll never be good at anything else. So don't make excuses, make a difference by asking the Holy Spirit today to reveal opportunities that you are be able to, well, lift beyond your natural eye and your normal thought processes and be able to make a difference in somebody else's life. Because I promise you, the harvest will be great for you too. If you feel you're on the way because of you just can't get past this mistake in the past, you're going to have to choose to get past it. You're going to need to determine that you have to forget. It's over and done. It was an event. It is not who you are. The Lord can lift all those burdens off of us if we're willing to let him. Ephesians 5:15-16, such good scripture. Ephesians 5:15-16 says this: Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. When opportunity comes knocking, you still have to get up and go answer that door. Thomas Edison, as we like to quote on occasion, said, opportunity is missed by most people because it comes dressed in overalls and looks like work. Some time ago, not very long ago, the Lord posed a question for each of us to ask ourselves today. What would you do if this was your last day on planet Earth? Who would you want to see? What would you say to them? Is there something you'd want to do for them? Would you want to do something for others that would become a part of your legacy? Well, it's doubtful this is your last day on planet Earth, but God wants you to seize the day. Seize the day while it is today and be about his kingdom work that he's planted in your heart, the ways to reach out and do and help and make a difference in other people's lives. That is our Resurrection Saturday message for today. And if you enjoy the teaching and you enjoy the ministry that Harold and I are able to bring forth, take a moment to ask God if he'd have you plant a seed. Just do what he says. You know, that's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning, Resurrection Sunday, happy trails and keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. We love you. We appreciate you. You just have no idea how you enrich our lives by just being able to reach out to yours. God bless you and have a great day.